Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
So, question for you. How much time do you spend at work on emails? If you work in an office, do you also access emails at home? If you work in an international company, do workers text you at all hours of the night? Today, we want to spend a few minutes on what's being called digital distractions. Gloria Mark, a professor at the University of California, Irvine, actually studies them. She says workers have only 3 minutes of focus before they're interrupted, and that it can take them 23 minutes to get back on track. We want to look more broadly at the problem, but we're going to start with auto manufacturer Daimler. They've commissioned a study to address both work and home life to improve the company's bottom line. The study was called Balanced Reconciling Employees' Work and Private Lives. It led to more flex time, daycare centers at work, but also a reduction in technology. Wilfred Porth is in charge of human resources at Daimler AG. He joins us from Stuttgart, Germany. So you are an international company. Start with your thinking there. Designing shifts by time zones, it looks like?
As an international company operating around the globe, we have daytime 24/7. And that means that the people in the U.S., when they are talking to the people in Asia or to the people in Europe, we have that organized in a way that they don't feel pressed to give an answer in the night.
Yeah, so you're trying to, the people who work in different shifts, it coordinates with the people who are traveling abroad. Leslie Perlow is a professor at Harvard Business School. He wrote the book, Sleeping with Your Smartphone, about how many workers now are flying in the middle of the night and sending emails back to colleagues who are waiting up to get them. Talk more about what you're doing, though, within the company when it comes to emails and employees who go away and come back to an avalanche of emails.
First, for holidays, actually from beginning this year, our employees are able to put a substitute in the email systems, somebody who is on duty. Then the emails reaching them will all be automatically deleted. And if you are sending an email to somebody who's on holidays and has put the system into place, you get a message. So if you have a very personal message, then you can send it again when this person is back in the job. I have heard companies, they are switching off their mail servers overnight and so on. But that does not help the overall problem, because then in the morning you get all the emails which have been blocked through the system in the night. So what we need to do is we need to reduce the number of emails, and we need to work on the self-responsibility of people. Honestly speaking, we need to look into a new generation of young people coming into the companies where they are used to have a 24/7 attendance and the top managers to set the right examples. In my case, for example, I don't send emails on the weekend. As the top managers, we have to set the right examples.
Wilfred Porth at Daimler AG, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So, Daimler AG trying to change attitudes about technology, but many young people are already on board. They're holding their own device-free parties at clubs. And at least one company, Atos, a global IT services company, is phasing out all internal email completely, while eBay has no device policies at some meetings. What? No texting? Would that send you into a panic? Rachel Emma Silverman has been looking into workplace distractions for the Wall Street Journal. Rachel, how bad is it? We mentioned a professor who said workers are interrupted every 3 minutes. What are you hearing?
eBay actually calls it an epidemic among companies in corporate America. People are so bombarded with information, with devices, with data streams at the workplace, not to mention good old-fashioned distractions like human colleagues talking loudly in the open office plan. There are just a lot of distractions, and workers say it's just very, very hard to actually get work done at work in the office.
Well, here's some more research. The software company Harmony and the research firm USAMP found nearly 60% of work interruptions involve email, social media, text messaging, instant messaging. 45% of employees say they work for only 15 minutes at a time or less without being interrupted. 53% waste at least an hour a day because of distractions. That adds up.
Absolutely. One research firm, Basics, calculated, and this is an estimate, that the cost of information overload, which includes workplace distraction, is $1 trillion for companies in the United States. I mean, that's an enormous amount of money, and that is in terms of lost productivity. So this is a real problem, and some companies really are recognizing that it does affect their bottom line.
Well, and in the surveys we mentioned, they said companies can, you know, maybe not a trillion, but companies can lose up to $10 million per year. And the Fox Business Survey puts that at about $11,000 per worker per year. This is amazing, given that this technology was supposed to save money.
Yes, absolutely. So the tension that companies are facing is that we need technology in the workplace. We need email, and at least a lot of people do, certainly to communicate externally with clients and customers. And social media is also increasingly important because many companies use social media for marketing and as a way to get information. So it's hard to actually ban completely these tools. So the big question that companies are facing is how to set better policies for workers to manage these tools and to educate workers about how best to manage these tools.
Okay, so pick up there. What are some of the companies suggesting, you know, how to manage these social media tools?
So one company, Abbott Vascular, a medical device company, actually brought in a consultant to help prioritize communication stream. So what they were finding was that email was turning into this huge stream of information that people were using email for everything, for things that were really important and also things that were really trivial, you know, like there's cake in the break room or, hey, did anybody leave glasses on the fifth floor? And so people were just checking email at all time, and there was really no sense of priority. So they decided to just set up a prioritization system, and they said that if something is urgent, pick up the phone, use face-to-face communication so that you know that your email is not going to contain anything urgent, at least internally.
That is fascinating. How many companies are actually trying to push employees to use the phone?
Absolutely. There's a bit of research on this, and workers actually find that the phone is less distracting than email because, frankly, people don't use the phone that much. So when the phone actually rings, it means that it's probably something important. You know, and also caller ID allows people to kind of screen out phone calls that are probably less important.
Yeah.
So the phone is actually a really good tool for communication. It also helps convey voices, help convey nuance that might not necessarily be there in a written message.
Imagine that. So you say some companies are looking to streamline the email system so that only the most urgent emails come through. We read the number one way companies are trying to discourage this digital distraction is by blocking social networking tools. Others are using usage pattern tracking to see what people are doing. Some companies are having no Facebook or no email Fridays.
So some of those bans have limited success, partly because social media, as I said, it is important for business for a lot of workers. So I think banning it, there's a lot of debate about these things, this is just my opinion, but I think banning it can actually be harmful in the long run. The other thing is that there are studies that show that taking a short break of you know, surfing the web or checking social media can actually be refreshing for workers.
The Wall Street Journal's Rachel Emma Silverman. So is your company doing something to help limit digital distractions? I'm aware I'm about to be one, but we would love to hear your thoughts. Please go to hearnow.org, let us know, and we'll be back with more from Rachel about what companies are doing. Heads down time. What's that? That's in 1 minute, Here and Now. Welcome back. We're talking with Wall Street Journal's Rachel Emma Silverman about digital distractions in the workplace and how some companies are responding. At least one is outright banning internal email, for instance. But Rachel, here are some more ideas. Companies are implementing what they're calling head down time. And these are hours, maybe four in a week. And they put these on these huge spreadsheets and map it out, in which employees don't have to respond to any email at all. And they can work on larger projects.
Exactly. And I think those kind of systems are a little bit better because they don't feel the obligation to have to respond to email during window. A lot of times when people get an email, they feel like they need to respond to it right then, right now. And so by having kind of a corporate-sanctioned reprieve from this pressure, it can be really helpful and can allow people to actually have 4 hours a week, which might not sound like a lot, but actually can be really productive to just do some heads down writing or thinking or talking with a colleague.
Well, you write about somebody who came up with a patent application in those hours because they were focused. And you also write about Robins Air Force Base in Georgia, how more planes got repaired when they streamlined the online work that was associated with that so that employees weren't toggling between all this different kind of stuff when they were working.
That's another big issue, and that multitasking has become part and parcel with this issue of kind of information overload, that we're all doing too much at once. We're all kind of toggling all of these, not only different information streams, but also projects. Because we have limited time in the workplace, we're trying to do lots and lots of different things, and a sort of a badge of honor in the workplace is, saying, oh, I'm working on six different things at once, and bosses often reward that skill. But what a number of firms have found, including Warner Robins Air Force Base in Georgia, was that when they actually reduced employee multitasking, when they said, you're only going to be working on three projects at once rather than, say, 11 projects, they found that it was a lot more effective. I mean, significantly, it went from about 47% of planes being repaired on time to 97% in just 1 year. So sometimes less is more, and we're finding that increasingly in companies.
Well, I was astonished that the Fox Business Survey found that employees spend an average 2.5 hours a week just trying to find documents on their computer. Again, this was supposed to be the easier file cabinet, but they can't. There's so much on the computer, they can't find things.
There are a number of solutions to make it easier for documents to be searchable and also to be better organized. And those are fine on an individual level, but what we're finding is that unless companies make organizational changes, like prioritizing communication streams or pushing employees to, say, an internal social network rather than email, unless there's real organizational change, these technological solutions aren't really that effective on a company-wide level. It really needs to be across the board and led from the top.
Well, Rachel Emma Silverman from The Wall Street Journal, the Atos CEO, this is the company that's phasing out all internal email. They said it's akin to reducing environmental pollutions after the Industrial Revolution. In other words, this is an offset of the technological revolution that they see as a negative. You have people like Christopher Bennett, a senior transport specialist at the World Bank, big deal guy, refused to accept a BlackBerry because he looked around and he saw other people using them 24/7. I mean, is this just a glitch for technology at the workplace, or do you think this is going to take hold?
Clearly something's got to give. I mean, workers are fed up, managers are fed up, and the economics don't make sense. I mean, this issue of lost productivity is real. So something's got to change. Whether or not a company like Atos will be successful in banning internal email, really remains to be seen. The process is really, really recent. They've actually just started migrating employees over to this internal social network. I do think there are a lot of positive signs, though. One of them is the fact that employees are more comfortable using internal social networks. I mean, those didn't even exist a few years ago, and some companies are finding that those tools are more effective internally than tools like email.
In other words, putting everybody on a Facebook page as opposed to having email, or putting everybody on sort of
exactly.
an internal texting. Yeah.
Exactly, because what those allow for are better document sharing, so you're not sending an attachment back and forth, and it prevents the kind of the reply all issue, where which really can be a huge problem, and sort of these big email chains. So by kind of moving everybody to this shared platform where people can see documents and they can comment on documents, some companies are finding that's a more attractive system and a more effective system.
But it's still technology.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I guess my larger point is the technology is not going to go away. I mean, if anything, we're going to have more technology. But I think we can use a combination of both technological solutions, like internal social networks, and managerial changes, leadership saying, okay, in meetings, we're not going to use devices in meetings, or in certain meetings, or, if something's urgent, use the phone. One thing that's really interesting, and I didn't really have room for it in the story, but companies are also viewing information overload as a wellness issue because they're finding that employees are, you know, literally sleeping with their smartphones and they're not getting as good sleep and they're distracted and they're not, you
the
know,
phantom they, ring. They think it's ringing
exactly,
when it's not.
Exactly. So they're actually, Herman Miller, the furniture maker, is actually internally looking at this issue as a wellness issue, and they're starting to, you know, to work with their HR folks and their health folks about training employees about, you know, better sleep hygiene techniques with their phones, and you know, these are the kind of things that managers can really do if they think creatively.
Rachel Emma Silverman, reporter for the Wall Street Journal on digital distractions. I just, you know, as long as I still get the email about the cake in the kitchen, I'll be happy. Rachel, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Okay, we've asked for your thoughts. One listener writes us, I work at home for a small company, but it takes me ages to get anything done. My coworkers, wonderful people, text and email me at all hours. Well, you're home, they say. I resorted to starting my workday at 6:30 so I can get some solid blocks of time to get things done. Your thoughts about digital distractions as we distract you at hereandnow.org. We'd love to hear from you. Latest news is next, Here and Now.